please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to be one that's focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, new home office, chair-worthy, pajama, leisure-worthy podcast. Today is Thursday, July 30th, 2020.
And since we referred to our office chairs, just take a moment wherever you're sitting or standing and stretch up a little bit and just feel a little stretch. We just did a little chair yoga on our in the last few minutes together, Summers and I. So I think everybody should do that. You know, it feels really good to.
And if you're standing, get into low crescent moon and then flow into warrior two, warrior one. Oh, wait, never mind.
That's no, we're not doing that. Spot. Okay.
No, okay. Yeah. Christy, it's Thursday. It's like not Friday, but it feels like it in my head. What are you doing today? What's your day look like?
Oh, it's pretty packed. I have to finish a couple of articles. I'm doing some recording and editing for the Solutions News radio show that we have coming out on Friday. It'll be posted as a podcast on Monday. Yeah. So that's going to be most of my day. And plus, we've got some other great stories that we're working on for the weekend. Well, I'm working today, in other
yes,
words. I'm
yes.
working.
My work day today involves a lot of tech conversations. We are neck deep in tech right now at the Optimist Daily. Some of you may have noticed that we have instituted a pay reminder encouraging people to become emissaries because, hey, business needs to get paid for. We're also transitioning our payment system from one that was with a small local processor into a more efficient, more organized, easier to check your invoices system. So we're moving into Stripe predominantly. But I am finding myself between a rock and a hard place because our bank won't give Stripe our old customer data. So I get to spend my day arguing with banks.
Aren't oh, wow.
you jealous? Don't you wish you could argue with banks all day? It'll be
no.
fun.
I'm really glad that you've got that role here, Summers. I'm so thankful that I'm not doing that. I think it's interesting that you mentioned tech because yesterday, I think, was when the big tech companies were all defending themselves in the face of Congress.
Right.
So this is just a very interesting moment to observe big tech and big banks and all of these organizations and a scrappy little companies which rely on the technology that all of us have come to rely on. We're trying to make it work.
And sorry.
That's okay. You've got a little animal brouhaha going on in the back there.
Okay, sorry, everybody. Cleo just decided to have a battle with the front door, barking in the background. Please ignore that. Instead, Christy, what is optimistic today about pine trees?
Well, the headline that I decided to focus on reads, could excess pine needles help solve the water pollution problem in India? This is from our science category on the Optimist Daily. I just like this one because it looks at how to solve a real issue, which is affecting the water quality in many areas of India. There's pollution caused by heavy metals, particularly lead, in much of the country's water supply. And as we all know here from what happened in Flint, Michigan, and other places, lead in the water supply is one of the most toxic ingredients for brain disorders and other problems. So getting that out of the water supply is super important.
Do we have a sense of where the lead pollution came from?
I don't know. I think heavy industry in India is pretty unregulated or has been traditionally. So it's probably from that. I haven't done that research. It's a great question, but I do not have an answer and I'm not going to pretend that I do. But there's another issue which India is experiencing, which we here in California are very familiar with. The risk of fire in pine forests is pretty heavy. And there's many pine forests that cloak the Himalayas. And what happens there is the pine needles drop to the forest floor, they get dried out, and they are perfect tinder for starting massive forest fires. And if there's a drought, especially, or in the dry season, it just really can be a massive issue, like these massive forest fires. So this solution, what it does is it looks at how you can use the pine needles and creating something called biochar from the pine needles, which is sort of a fancy kind of charcoal, and use that, which it's known that pine wood actually makes really good biochar for cleaning out the heavy metal toxins in water supply. It's a great solution there, because here's something that is considered waste, the pine needles.
Right.
But it's made from the same kind of materials as pine wood, which is actually a valuable commodity. And it's hard to buy pine wood to turn that into biochar. But why don't we just collect the pine needles, which otherwise would be tossed away or light on fire from a lightning strike or someone accidentally lighting a fire too closely there, and turn that into biochar, which can be used to draw the toxins out of the water. And then you collect the charcoal, and then the water is actually filtered. So this is just an elegant solution. It's a simultaneous solution, using the needles to clean up the water, cleaning up the needles in the process, and using something which is otherwise considered trash as a productive commodity. It's being tested right now. The Dr. Dinesh Mohan, who's a scientist at Nehru University in Delhi, and this was his brainchild, I suppose, and he's working on testing this, he and his colleagues. The charcoal isn't actually by burning it, it's by heating it just to
I was gonna ask that. Like, burning it might have air pollution effect, which would be counterproductive.
No, what you keep it in an enclosed space, and you heat that space to it's like an oven. You put it in a charcoal creation oven, and that takes all the moisture out of it. And they found that heating it at 550 degrees Celsius, which is pretty high, but those batches are really, really efficient at extracting lead from the water supply. So it's got to be turned into a massive, scaled up, practical application. But I just like the solution. I like the innovative thinking, looking at something which would otherwise be waste and turning it into something valuable.
Yeah, I think that this is a very interesting solution. I know that charcoal in general, you know, like the charcoal product boom right now is crazy, right? The older kids are using charcoal toothpaste, and there's charcoal masks. You know, there's all sorts of charcoal products that are all about, you know, extracting toxins. And so it's kind of fantastic to see what has been this cottage industry beauty product suddenly actually having greater implications on the health of a water system. And I love this innovative solution. I think it's pretty neat. One of the things that lead can do is adversely affect the brain. And my headline goes into the brain. As many of you guys know, I'm super into brain health after having survived a traumatic brain injury just about a decade ago. And so I'm always interested in figuring out how to ensure brain longevity and keep everything firing. So the headline that I chose today reads, "Blood test shows promising results in detecting early stage Alzheimer's." Simply put, this is a non-invasive way of detecting the likelihood of a patient to have Alzheimer's. The blood test that was discussed by the Alzheimer's Association at the conference recently could detect signs of the disease 20 years before cognitive problems. The way that the blood test works is it measures protein tau, which is a abnormally shaped protein in the brains of people with Alzheimer's. These ways of having predictive tests for things like Alzheimer's, I think, are really fantastic because it will allow prevention instead of just treatment. As we know, and my darling grandmother, whom my daughter is named for, had dementia and Alzheimer's, and we know that there's no treatment for Alzheimer's once it is fully in process. What I love about this is that prevention or delay of the onset becomes a reality. And yeah. I would give anything to have time back with my grandmother. And I also know that genetically there's a predisposition. So we hope that this kind of early detection will lead to better prevention. So great solution on this one.
And there's another headline today talking about brain health, and I'm not looking at the page, but eat your way to a healthier brain with nutritional psychiatry. I mean, I just think that if you know that you have a propensity towards getting Alzheimer's, or you have these tau proteins that are in your brain and you get that diagnosis, Alzheimer's is such a lifestyle disease, or it's heavily influenced by lifestyle choices. So having that knowledge at an early stage means you can start moving your body, running, which really does help improve brain outcomes.
Your brain is an organ that needs increased blood flow in order to work properly.
So aerobic exercise is helpful there, but eating proper diet, staying away from grain and high levels of processed food has been shown to reduce Alzheimer's effects, even in people who have pretty advanced stages of Alzheimer's.
I want to take a second to just rage against high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah.
I just want to sugar. No, I get razzed all the time in my house because I just did not grow up eating sugars. It's just not in my palate. I'm not a big fan of anything with high fructose corn syrup. I don't like teriyaki type flavors because I just don't get why you would add sugar to vegetables. I'm very anti this stuff because it's just how I was raised. But there's all of this science that proves it's terrible too. It's not just that I have like my nerdy hippie palate. It's that actually science says don't eat sugar. And the World Health Organization just issued a new dietary recommendations. And the number one thing that they say are no processed sugars and just don't do it. And for the first 2 years of a child's life, you're supposed to just like have no processed sugars at all. Science backs me up here. Just put down the freaking Otter Pops, people.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my rage. I'll step back. I'm going to go do some yoga, but I'm so mad at high fructose corn syrup.
Okay. I don't blame you at all. And I think it's important. And especially if you find out you have the beginnings of any of these lifestyle diseases, which is really a huge problem.
Or have experienced brain trauma, right? If you've experienced brain trauma, you are more likely to develop cognitive disorders. And so it just is a thing. Anyway.
The U.S. has a really messed up food system, which we all know. And I'm working on the story about SNAP and food stamps, and which, by the way, is more supportive and more conducive to eating those highly processed foods, unfortunately.
Right.
And we have a food literacy problem in the U.S. where people who are living on the margins don't really have the resources or training. It's not something they learned to cook or even how to use fresh fruits and vegetables in their recipes, right? So it's just easier to grab that box of macaroni and cheese or something which is highly processed. And it tastes really good and it's designed to excite all of the right taste buds. So you get kind of addicted to those kinds of comfort foods when they don't really do much for your nutritional needs.
Well, and it's really hard to train your palate to do things.
It is.
It's a choice. But okay, so
we've diverged on everything.
Let's talk about other happy solutions.
All right. Well, there is an article on eating your way to a healthier brain with nutritional psychiatry. It gives some really great tips on how to do that. There's an article on an Australian fruit that could save Florida's dying oranges. It helps to attack citrus greening, which is a disease that has been ravaging the citrus groves in Florida. Britain's biggest pension fund is now divesting from fossil fuels. We've highlighted a number of different big funds that have done this, and I think this is super important. It is really the death knell for the carbon industry. It just makes financial sense to not be invested in oil or gas any longer. Wild tiger populations are making a comeback around the world, and that's fantastic. Speaking of Tiger King and all you cats and kittens out there, there's a clinical study that finds CBD can actually help treat cannabis addiction. So sort of gives that pill there.
Mm-hmm. There are some wild tiger populations coming back around the world. That article's going to do well on social because there's a tiger. There's also a pregnant orca whale. Many people might have seen the story about an orca who carried her calf who had passed away for a very long time through the ocean, but it turns out that particular whale is pregnant again. Engineers create a no-touch touchscreen to reduce distracted drivers. And let's see what else.
There's a guide to the bugs that are eating your garden plants. For all of us who are at home looking at our gardens and saying, what? How come I've got all these holy leaves? Got a guide and some suggestions on how you can organically remove those pests. Yes, so that's it for our top headlines today, our top solutions. Go check it out on theoptimistdaily.com. Go to today's solutions and you can see all 10 of those and read the articles in depth. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to continue to offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com for just $5 a month. Support reader-funded, independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Let's keep The Optimist Daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can. Have a great Thursday, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.